Hi, hello. Thank you for downloading the second Comedy Roundabout podcast featuring myself, Stuart Woodings, and Josh Pugh. I hope you enjoy this one. Really, really pleased with this one. We've got some features on it, which we thought we'd try. So that's quite exciting. A few different features. Josh shows us some of his musical talents a bit later on. Who knew? So hopefully you'll enjoy that. That promises to be a lot of fun. Yeah, it's been exciting. A lot of things have happened. Josh won the Breakthrough Talent Award, and I'm not going to lie, it's changed him. He is a little bit different, a little bit more, I want to say, egotistical. A lot of people who know him see him as this quite sort of modest, mild-mannered chap. I think he's changed. I went round to do the podcast. He answered the door, and he was wearing a medal around his neck. I asked him what it was, and he said, "Well, this is the medal that they gave me for winning the Breakout Talent Award." A little bit later on, as we were talking, I noticed a picture of a BMX on it and someone else's name. So I'm not sure where he got the medal from. Also, a bit later on, I was telling him how my granddad had died on a fishing trawler, and he said, "Yeah, I know exactly what you meant." Mean. He started telling me a story, which ended in him winning the Breakout Talent Award, and this seemed to be a bit of a theme when we were off air. Any kind of story I had, he'd have a parallel story which would end with him winning the Breakout Talent Award. So just look out for some changes in his personality. But enough of me. Enjoy the podcast. The races.
We are
second section. Hello, hello.
We're doing still, aren't we? We're doing a show at Leicester Comedy Festival this year. So we did one last year, which was a roaring success. I'm sure you'd agree.
Absolutely, yeah.
People came, didn't they? I was surprised that.
I'd say it was almost full.
It was almost full. Yeah, we were completely unprepared for that.
I didn't know what I was doing. I don't know how I did half an hour. Thinking back,
I don't think we did. I looked at my watch and I'd done 20 minutes. And then I started giving, at that stage, asking for money off people. Absolutely scandalous looking back. That was criminal, actually, looking back. But this year, we had a couple of ideas to what we're going to do. And we're thinking possibly, aren't we, like some kind of comedy seance.
Yeah, I think that's got wings.
The idea is Stu will be performing his set from Beyond the Grave. And I'll be sort of doing... I'll be like the most haunted tours where I'll go into like a darkened room and I'll sort of give them the concept of Stu Wood and his past, and then I'll try and contact you, and then you sort of deliver your set from beyond the grave through me.
I like that.
So
like
I'll
that.
Actually be delivering the material, and I'll probably write the material as well.
So I was under the impression I was a disembodied voice.
Yeah, well, so I'll say Stu Wooden's died here a couple of years ago. I'm going to try and contact him now.
Okay.
And then I will deliver material. So your material, well, it'll be my material, but delivered through me.
Right.
From you.
Okay. See, this to me sounds like, you know, because obviously I've paid for it and I've done all like the marketing and everything like that.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you're just, I don't know how to say this without sounding awful, but you're basically just doing a show.
Well, yeah, but no, so what it is, yes, I'll be saying Stu Woodings has died, he's passed away.
So you will mention my name?
Possibly. Well, it might just be a comedian died in this room.
Oh.
But I'm going to try and contact them, and then, so I'm delivering, like, I'm performing, and it's like I'm possessed by a dead comedian, and I'll be performing material I've written.
Okay. I mean, you've not sort of done anything to make me think that it is any less of a one-man show.
As you say, though, you've contributed already. You've paid for the... That's reward enough, almost, isn't it, for yourself to be involved and to...
I mean, I wouldn't mind. You know, could I do like a song from Beyond the Grave? That might be a good idea, eh?
I can't really play the guitar, though. I'm not the best singer, so I'm not sure the audience would really go with it if I was to perform the song.
I mean, and it sounds really awful, Okay, I had to pay for it and everything, but I don't mind coming on and just doing a song if that's okay.
Yeah, if there's time. Obviously, we're sure. Tight for stuff. It's going to be tight. But certainly, I'll get in touch with you closer to the time.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That's fine. Feel a little bit. I feel a little bit taken advantage of, if I'm really honest. That's fine. That's me. I am sensitive.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, I wouldn't be doing any of your material. God no, I wouldn't be doing it. I'd be doing my material. So you don't need to feel. You know, I'm not taking advantage. I'm not taking anything from you, have I? Sort of.
I suppose not.
But obviously, if you could get the poster sorted out, you know, that's a little job for you to be cracking on with. If you wanted to.
Yeah, well, I've got a photo of us both. So I thought I could. I'll put that on. It looks quite good. I've got like a nice big smile. Look really happy. And
might look
so.
A little bit cluttered. I'm thinking on the. Cause obviously, I've
you've got to be on it. I can't just be me.
No. So it'll be me in sort of a black robe, sort of like with a Ouija board in front of me, and we could maybe be spelling out Stu on the Ouija board. Well, if we just take the yes from Stu.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we'll go with that, yeah.
That's the S, but it'll definitely
think,
be on the...
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to need... If you can leave a deposit before you go, I think it's a £50 deposit, and then I'll get them printed off.
Unless you're yes, why not? Why
yeah,
not?
We'll do that. Jesus I think it sounds Christ. Great. So I think it sounds really good.
So what I'm just going to be like... So it's just going to be picture of you in black, and then just underneath it'll be, you know, Josh and Stu or Woodings and Pew or something like that, and then... Just the details of the show.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. That's behind that. But I think the main thing at this stage is obviously that we need to get the money together. That's the first thing. So
yeah, that's fine. I get the hint. I'll pull my finger out. And,
yeah, I think you know. It's not all about you, Stu, is it? Let's not.
No, I mean it's just that in my personal life at the minute, I'm borrowing from Pete to pay Paul. So. I know the comedy is really important, and you're always saying that I don't take this seriously enough. I do need to get my son some shoes, but
is he starting? Is he starting school? Is he starting school?
Well, yet? No, he hasn't. No. So.
Well, so
yeah,
yeah. I think there could be in shoes too young, Stu. It can stifle the.
Okay, all right. I'll sort it out. I mean, I get paid again on the 28th, so he's only got to go 7 days.
Yeah. But he doesn't go. The thing is, you're that poor, Stu. He doesn't leave the house, does he? So it's but you're saving money there, aren't you? If
the trouble is at the moment, he's allergic to a lot of different things. Some environmental, some food and liquid based. So rather than us just take a lottery and just put him out there and see what gets him, we're trying to introduce them one at a time. So at the minute, he's very much a house based child.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, so we'll get that sorted.
Okay,
we'll get the posters done up. Danny Clives actually. Danny Clives is a comedian locally.
Yeah.
Oh no, he's. I hesitate to use the word global, but certainly, the Midlands as a wider region, he's sort of known there. And yep. he works in a shoe shop, so and he's offered to get together some Velcro so we can actually Velcro you to the ceiling as part of the seance.
Wow. Okay, I'm back in. I like this.
You're back in. Yeah, you're back.
Yeah,
in.
I like this. So not just a disembodied voice behind a curtain, but actually suspended.
Yeah, you're a physical presence, but you are essentially a corpse as well. So it's me doing the material, but you're sort of just there as a physical presence. And also, if you could sort of adjust the lighting and just make sure the sound's okay for when I'm speaking.
Okay, but I am going to be there.
You will be there. Fun. Yeah.
I guess my only question is, how high is the ceiling?
It's about 12 foot.
And this Velcro, what kind of load testing has been done?
Well, Danny mainly he said at the minute he's working in sort of the children's shoe section, so he might be able to sort your son out actually. But so it'd be quite very thin strips of Velcro. We'd have to sort of cover you in them entirely. You might need help getting out your car, actually. You might sort of be stuck to the seats. But, yeah, so that would sort of stick you. I'm pretty sure that would secure you to the ceiling.
I know you're going to think I'm whining again and it's all about me again. Would there be any chance of having some sort of mattress perhaps underneath me, or will that spoil the aesthetic?
I think, yeah, that's we need to really sort of pack audience in if we can.
I guess I'm just going to have to... And it's another one for comedy, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. We can maybe sort of get you some kind of helmet.
Really?
Yeah, get you a helmet. Yeah, get your helmet. Let's get some Velcro on there. And I think it's going to be a great show.
I'm looking forward to it.
That's 8:15. It's get in your diaries now. 8:15 on the 9th of February.
I haven't got my notes in front of me, but I believe it's something like.
I'm up to my eyeballs to writing the show, trying to work it all out. And the one thing you, just a date, just get the date right, please.
My wife left me.
Well, with that kind of logistics, still I'm not surprised.
Today.
Oh God! So can.
It's not. So I don't know what.
So you're doing the Velcro.
I don't know where that came from.
You're doing the Velcro or not?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I think we can. I think that's it. That's in the diary. I'm looking forward to
lovely.
That.
Okay. Big tip next to that then. Josh, we had some letters.
Fantastic.
We had some letters from last week, which is really exciting.
Postal? Were the postal letters?
These weren't. They were using the electronic mail.
Okay. Fantastic.
Email.
Yep.
So we've got a congrats, guys, on a wonderful first podcast.
Thank you.
I loved it when Josh spoke. If I'm not very much mistaken, that was the Behringer condenser mic. Was it the 52 or the 59? The 52. Bit of a geek. Either way, beautiful bit of kit. One only criticism, maybe next podcast, let Stu use it instead. Not being funny, but Josh's accent. It's how Yoda would sound if he'd been taught how to speak by Lenny Henry, LOL, ? It's a bit harsh, isn't it?
Wow.
Got another one. Ola Comedy Roundabout. Esta muy bueno, amigos. That episode mucho rocked. Were you using an external sound card and what bitrate did you record in? My English not too good, so couldn't tell what you were talking about. Me sorry, Pablo. This is lovely.
Thanks for getting in touch, Pablo. Fantastic.
This is lovely stuff. Stu, Josh, well done. You guys work really well together, especially with Josh as the straight man. He reminded me a lot of Sid Little, but with a funny accent. Hope that doesn't sound negative. That's from Terence. These are great. Hello, Stuart. Your password has been reset for username Intrigue. Click the link or go to the Ashley Madison website and click lock.
Oh! I don't know if you want to read that. I think you've gone into your personal emails.
So yeah, so nice to get some feedback for the other show.
Another bit of something else we should clear up, Stu. Do you listen to Toad Radio at all, or Turd Radio? Turd Radio.
I know what you're on about now.
Yeah,
not if I can help it, Josh.
No, what a load of turd. Tom Rackham, Turd Rackham. he started some beef with the Comedy Roundabout, Stu.
Really?
Yeah, he attacked you personally, actually, if you listen to it at all.
No.
Really, sort of, I don't actually want to repeat some of the things he was saying, but yeah, he's starting the beef with us.
Right, okay.
So, should we respond to that?
Yeah, where does he live?
He lives...
I probably shouldn't give the address out, if you could just write it on this piece of paper.
Yeah, there we go. And that's, okay. That's Shard with an SH.
Right, okay.
E&D. So, anything you want to say to Lucy and Tom?
If he said anything about my family, I will end him.
Okay.
Or is this light-hearted banter?
No, it's especially what we've been banter really, Stu.
What did the bloody say?
Them guys. I think we should probably move on from that, Stu, apologies to Tom and Lucy.
Should we do?
I've got a little bit of travel news for the listeners.
Wonderful.
Okay, so the A38 southbound is completely gridlocked from junction 8. There's been two lanes closed, and that was between 12 and 3 o'clock last Sunday. Good news is, it's all cleared up now and everything's back to normal.
Thanks for that, Josh. That would have been good to know last week. So thanks for that.
Have you got any? If you've seen anybody, Stu, because this is a comedy, podcast / self defence. Is there anybody you've seen recently who has really impressed you? And you wanted to give them a mention,
a big up.
Yeah, it could be a comedian. It could be a very friendly member of bar staff at a gig.
I've seen... I did a gig with Ben Briggs on Saturday.
Okay.
And he smashed it.
He always does, doesn't he?
He absolutely smashed
it.
He's fantastic. And I was sort of afterwards, I was a little bit... I was a bit gushing in my praise,
okay.
To the point where I could see him become visibly uncomfortable. The green room was pretty much a cupboard, and that just sort of intensified my
your
gushing.
Praise. Yeah. What kind of praise were you giving him? What were you saying?
It didn't help that I said something along the lines of, I did a gig with Tom Staid and he didn't get applause breaks like that.
Wow, that is pretty gushing.
I wasn't proud of it. It was.
What was Ben wearing on the night? He looked good.
He very nice, sort of slim. I don't want to detract from his material. His
fantastic comedian. Yeah, I actually had a bit of praise myself recently, Stu.
Yeah,
I was leaving a venue the other day, and a lovely, very nice bouncer.
Yeah,
he said to me, "Thanks for that, Josh. Enjoy the rest of your career."
Wow.
So I told him to enjoy the rest of his career as well.
Thanks for that, Josh.
Enjoy the rest of your career. It sort of sounds like I won't be going back there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's not saying have a shit career. He's saying enjoy your career elsewhere. So yeah. he's not wishing me harm, is he, in any way? But he's
Well, if you'd said like some street performer imparted those words, I'd probably say, oh, that sounds quite nice. But you said he was a bouncer.
Yeah, he was a bouncer.
It takes a sinister overtone.
And also, he was, yeah, it does a little bit. And also, why was he watching my performance? Surely he's primarily in charge of my safety. Probably that's why he was there. He's a bit concerned. People were, you know, they were enjoying it, but in an aggressive way.
Do you still do your derogatory bounce a bit?
Yeah, I do, to be honest.
Because that's got you in trouble in the past.
Yeah, but to be fair, Stimmy, if you'd have seen this bouncer, she was pretty... Whew, she looked tough.
Really?
Yeah, she was big girl.
Crikey. I'm picturing the woman from Game of Thrones. Do you watch Game of Thrones?
Again, that's one of those things I don't watch. I don't really watch TV, Stu. The only thing I watch is Hunted.
Right.
As we discussed. And other than that, I watch a little bit of Don't Tell the Bride.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
My wife is a big fan of that show.
Yeah, it's good actually, isn't it?
I'm not.
You're not a fan of it?
No, not really. No, I don't like those sort of ones or Embarrassing Bodies.
No, I don't like to see that.
Big Fat Gypsy Wedding.
No, I like Don't Tell the Bride because I like to see mother-in-laws panicking.
Right.
I do like to see that. so it is quite good. So I've seen quite recently, and I was impressed with.
Oh, sorry. I've just thought of something that I think this would be quite good for our ratings. Actually, this would be quite good.
Okay.
What about proposing now on the podcast? It would just that would look really, really good. We could put that on Twitter.
It would, wouldn't it? But my girlfriend generally does not listen to this.
Okay.
She would not listen to this.
Could you not like accidentally put it on in the car or something like that? Just that particular bit.
Well, I do play all my material in the car when we're together. You know, that's why we don't watch much TV.
Right.
I just record my gigs and then we play them together, and then you know.
So if you were to ask, there's probably a chance you'd say no.
Potentially.
Okay.
Potentially. So we won't do that. Funny story, actually, Stu. This is true. My friend went to the darts.
Yeah.
And held up a sign saying, "Will you marry me?" So he could get on TV, and then his girlfriend seen it and said yes, but he just wanted to get on telly. He didn't actually want to propose.
Oh no!
So
that's awful.
But yeah, I'm not sure I'd actually want to marry somebody who's a woman who's watching televised darts. To be honest, but it really backfired on him. But he got on TV, so he's
got what he wanted out of it.
He has got what he wanted out of it.
But now he's single.
No, he's still with her. Yeah. Right. No, he's not with her. He's with somebody else.
Really?
Again, he won't listen to this, so it's fine. Yeah, he's with somebody else now.
Crikey, the world of darts.
Have you ever been on TV, Stu? Apart, you know, not obviously not performing, God, but you know, just in it, sort of.
Yeah.
Inadvertently been on TV.
Yes, I have. I was on the Freddie Mercury tribute concert. I was second from the front.
Fantastic.
Again, I don't think you were born then. But it was wonderful. It was a wonderful day, and I was on the telly. You could clearly see me. Really? That was broadcast around the world. International. Legit international.
Wow. So you've actually... Is that on your comedy CV?
I didn't think about that until this very moment, but it's going on.
I was on TV once.
Yeah.
I was a child, and this is true.
Yeah.
That they took three people from our school to learn some judo.
Oh, okay.
And we had to go and do judo. And it was fun. It's like actually like being on TV. Like, you had like runners who went to get your stuff.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. But I was a prepubescent, Stu.
Right.
I was quite a late developer. And I was pinned quite easily by a female, by a girl.
No shame in that, Josh.
No, absolutely. I mean, she was younger than me.
Yeah.
But, you know, girls do develop faster than boys, so there's no shame in it.
She was younger than you.
She was younger than me, right. Yeah. But again, like I say, girls do develop faster than boys. So, but
I mean, how much younger?
2 or 3 years.
Oh, okay.
So she was... No, that's true. I was generally on
really?
TV. Yeah, really good.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, what station?
It was like CBBC, like children's TV or whatever.
Bloody hell.
So yeah, that's the goal, to get back there.
Yeah, crikey.
I said three young girls walked past me the other day.
Right.
It must have been about 10 or 11. And I said hello to them.
Yes.
And honestly, they looked so terrified.
Really?
One of them sort of muttered, hello. And then they're like giggling and running off, and they genuinely look scared. And I think it's a shame that you can't say hello to children anymore.
I know what you feel. Well, I had the other side of that again. I was taking Elijah, my son, onto the park, and there was a little girl, and she came up to me. I reckon she was 11, and she started talking to me, and I started looking round. I felt uncomfortable.
Really?
I was thinking, oh my God, I hope people don't suddenly appear.
Yeah.
And think, who's that dirty Herbert? In fact, I even picked my son up almost to say, look,
here
I've got
is.
One.
Yeah.
You know, this one's mine sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, some of my friends have got babies and things, and like I've been to a couple of first birthday parties, and you're looking like at the bouncy castle, you're looking, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're not... Yeah, you just that's there. That's very much the central point of a party. It's the central point of any party if there's a bounce castle there.
Oh yeah.
And then people will ask you like, "Oh, which one's yours?" Then we have to say none of them.
That's an awkward.
It is awkward.
Moment.
Yeah, it is. But it's.
Do you ever lie? Do you ever find yourself saying?
No. I always sort of say none of them are mine.
You've never had to find yourself coming up with an elaborate backstory and.
I think you're sort of going to make yourself look suspicious.
Yeah.
Yep. One thing I do though, Stu, my garden backs onto an alleyway.
Yep.
It's called Dog Shit Alley, but you know that's
But there's any respectable alley is called that.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to, if you're a dog, have some dignity. You know, shit in an alleyway. You're not going to shit on the street, are you?
No.
It's only the classy dogs that are shitting in the alleyway. So Dog Shit Alley, and children walk up there, and they'll often play music on the phone. And when I'm putting out the washing, sometimes I'll sing along with the music as I go past.
Really?
But I'm hiding. I'm stooped down low, and I'm singing.
Right, okay. This, again, I'm seeing it from the kids' point of view, and imagine going to school and some kids singing along to me. I mean, it just sounds weird. It just sounds very strange.
Yeah, what I don't want is people think that's where that weirdo lives, at that house.
That's the sort of flavour I was getting from that.
Yeah, and I think I'm in danger of that. My girlfriend worries.
I think that's some behaviour you should probably look to curb.
Possibly, but you know, it is my house at the end of the day, Stu, isn't it? So if I want to sing in my back garden, I can. There's no singing's not illegal, is it?
It's not. I'm going to segue from your singing to I split my trousers. Last week at work. I went to Sainsbury's to buy some cheese. I bent down to look at the different cheeses and I heard a tear sound. Didn't think anything of it. I had a little sort of a scrat around and I found a hole about the size of a 2p.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I thought, well, that's okay. I'm not going to go home just for that. No one will see it. It was the bottom end of the gusset.
Oh, classic.
Walked back to work. I was looking at some spreadsheets and I stood up. To do something, and suddenly someone behind me started laughing, and I'd completely underestimated the size of the split. It was like an enormous.
It was
like a hippo's yawn. One of the chaps photographed it, and he showed it me, and pretty much the only thing keeping the two legs together was the fly hole.
Oh my god.
Yeah, they completely split. Oh,
it happens though, doesn't it?
Well, what made it really frightening, there was one guy there I've not spoken to for 6 months who I barely know, and I went to get a cup of tea in the kitchen, and he said, have you got some new trousers now then?
Gosh, that's... I presume you've been those now, Steve, not...
Well, my mum has a wonderful technique of being able to salvage anything, so before they hit the bin, I'm just going to get her to eyeball them, but yeah. I suspect that they're for the bin.
I've had loads of gussets ripped on my trousers. It's like the danger area. It's just wear and tear. I think it's when you sit and you sit quite comfortably at work, so don't you? You've got sort, you sort of straddled.
I do.
Especially in meetings, you sort of straddle a chair.
I'll turn it round to face the other way.
Yeah, like Brittany.
Yeah, and then lean on the backrest.
Yeah,
with my elbows.
So you're sort of asking for it in a way, aren't you? Sort of asking for that.
Yeah, I've been stressing that thread for some time.
Yeah, it can only take so much. Now, honestly, it's happened to me a couple of times, and I've had to go to a shop and buy some exactly the same. honestly, it happens, doesn't it? Part of me is a little bit proud, like, oh, it's happened again. They've ripped again.
Yeah.
Can't contain this.
Yeah. I mean, I know you go to the gym not far from here. Do you squat in... have you ever been doing a squat and they've gone on you?
I do squat, but possibly not in chinos. Usually, not in chinos.
No, nothing flannel based.
No, nothing canvas at all. For that reason as well.
Yeah.
You know, so it is a problem area. That's probably the only, as a man, that is probably the only wardrobe malfunction that can happen.
It was embarrassing, but I did learn a few things. One of them was it totally ventilated that area.
It is quite nice.
It was lovely.
Yeah.
It was quite liberating. And I suddenly thought, you know, if that became the norm and people didn't frown upon it, it could be. It makes a lot of sense. I had easy access if I needed to go to the toilet.
I think this. What is the look? You know, if you go outside naked, like, who says you have to wear clothes? Like, seriously, what law are you breaking?
I know what you mean. I think the only reason we don't question it is because it's quite cold in this country.
Yeah, definitely. But seriously.
Yeah.
What law is it? You know, is it indecent exposure? But you know, why should you have to? If you don't want to, like, people can do what they want, can't they? Why should you be?
I'm concerned because you have this attitude about singing in your garden. Are you taking this a step further?
No, but I'm just saying, why confine ourselves to things?
I don't think. Picture some of your work colleagues.
Okay.
Picture some of the people you know. Would you like them walking around as God intended?
If they were happy. So Stu, what have you been up to since? I think it was about a month ago, wasn't it?
It was about a month ago. It was too long ago. And one of the things is I came up with all these little comedy bits, but they're sort of out of date a little bit now. You know, I had a bit about David Cameron and the pig.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's past. You know, and I've got lots of bits like that where you know it seems strange if I was to suddenly say them. I think. Because I'm such a topical comic, we'd need to do a podcast at least once a week for it to have any meaning.
Yeah, I mean, you say that, Stu. We did a show in Leicester, which is the Leicester Comedy Festival, which is February, and I seem to recall you were doing some Christmas-based material then.
Christmas is one of those seasons, though, isn't it? Is it ever really out of season?
Well, sort of July, June time.
That's true, but they're good jokes.
Yeah, and could you argue, actually, that you were so topical that you were preempting Christmas 2015?
Exactly. That's really what it was.
Got you. Yeah, well, it's good. You sort of bringing those... You got your heating on yet, Stu?
The heating's been on... Oh, crikey. I would say August the heating went on. Sarah is Nesh. So she banged that on pretty early. And it's just been on non-stop. She doesn't even bother with the timer. Why put it on a timer when you can just have it on permanently?
Well, my girlfriend Lucinda, she set the timer on our thermostat. I mean, this is really riveting for the listeners.
Yeah.
She set the timer on our thermostat, but she didn't set it to the time on the thermostat, if that makes sense. So the thermostat, it's turning on at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And at 10 o'clock, but she's not related that time to the actual time, Greenwich Mean Time.
Right, it's at 10 o'clock, but somewhere else.
Yeah.
Right, I'm hearing you.
So we're out the house.
Right.
So we're getting home to a cold house.
Yeah.
And it's just...
Perfect for burglars.
Absolutely. If they've come in, they're going to be lovely and cosy. If anything, they'll hopefully be so comfortable that they're sort of refraining from taking anything. They just have to sit down. This is lovely in here.
Now, what about yourself, Josh? Have you been up to much since the last podcast? Well, congratulations, amigo. You won the Birmingham and West Midlands new comedian of the year.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, breaking talent award.
Fantastic.
I got to go on radio with a lovely lady called Trisha Doodoo.
Okay,
that's a genuine name, and right. she used to do a lot of grandstand. But you know, she was on BBC One.
Sorry, the song's in my head now.
Yeah, no, it's Trisha, a good song,
do,
isn't it?
Do shake pineapple. Sorry,
I think the grandstand theme.
That as well now.
Yeah, so Trisha Doodoo, she used to be on BBC One, but she sort of found more of a local audience on BBC Coventry in Warwickshire in the afternoon prime slot between 2 and 3.
Beautiful.
Suits her down to the ground. She invited me on, and I was about to go on. They wanted me to do a joke, so I had something prepared.
Oh, excellent.
Just before I was about to go in, the producer came out and said there'd been a bomb scare in Coventry.
God.
So my slot was postponed, and then I went on after a bulletin about an unexploded World War II bomb in the city
follow
centre.
That
yeah well I did
was your material appropriate or did you have to change it on the fly?
No, I just did a little joke which they seemed to enjoy, and they did a controlled explosion literally an hour after.
Right,
so you could say look, my comedy in itself is a controlled explosion.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
and is that can fans find that anywhere? Is it out there
on iPlayer? You mean
it is on iPlayer?
I think
it?
So. Yeah, I think wow. So. Obviously, I mean it was a couple of weeks ago, so rather listening to this, dude, rather than BBC.
It's all about being present, isn't it?
Yeah, let's not push any listeners towards the BBC when we've got them sort of eating out the palm of our hands on this podcast.
I couldn't agree more. Now, Josh, I mentioned to you briefly. As you can see, I've been playing around with some technical stuff there. What I've been doing is I've been setting up a live Twitter feed. So we've got some fans who are poised at the moment. And I'm sorry to spring this on you, but what I was thinking was at some point in the show, we have a pun-off.
Okay.
And the Great British pun-off. Basically what I've done is I've taken the title from the Great British Bake-Off,
okay.
But I've changed bake to pun. So what happens
is... A prime example of punning itself.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So the idea is we both do it, and then we will check throughout the show who's got the most votes for the best
good.
Pun.
Fantastic.
So this chart here, as you can see, there's a red and yellow line. You're the yellow, and I'm the red. And through the show, I'll keep an eye on them to see whose puns deemed the funniest by the listeners.
Fantastic. Brilliant.
So we can do that now, or we can come back to that, because obviously, you know, it's a bit unfair for me to...
Have we got a theme? Have we got to point around a theme?
I didn't think that much into it, but that makes some sense.
It does, because, you know, on the Great British Bake Off,
yep.
You know, you can't just turn up and sort of do a toaster. You've got to stick to a theme.
Okay. So okay, what about if I say the theme has to be Cliff Richards?
Okay, that's
because the pun I've got in my head is is Cliff based.
Okay,
but this feels a bit unfair now, though.
Oh, I hope you're not going to leave me in the shadows.
That's
is that registered at any kind of school?
That's I'd actually turned it on. Hang on a sec. Sorry, because I've not turned it on. It's probably unfair for you to use that one now. So you may have to. Right, that's on now. So
that's okay.
You probably have to use a different one instead of that one now.
Okay.
So,
well, do you want to start with? You've obviously got one in mind, so you've sort of created a whole game around. One.
Yeah, I don't want to make a big deal of it. It's only a pun. I've recently been cloning Cliff Richards, but they won't let you clone any more than three. Apparently, to do any more than three, you need a four Cliff license. Ooh, look at that!
And you're the
it's
red.
Going up.
You're the red.
I'm the red, and as you can see. 4, 5, so that number as it goes up, that is literally people clicking that they're voting for me. Now, obviously, it's unfair because you've not said your pun and you can't use the shadows one.
Can I not use the shadows one?
No.
Okay.
Right. Well, do you want me to give you some time to think about that?
Yeah. We'll come back. We'll come back to me. Maybe we'll end on it.
Okay. Well, it'd be nice just to be able to see through the show how we're doing. It'll add a sense of a live element.
And that Shadows one definitely hasn't registered with the total hours.
No, it would be unfair for us to include that now. I hadn't pressed my button.
Okay. Right. Something will come in the next 5 minutes, Stu, I'm sure.
When it comes, let me know and we'll... Yeah.
If people want to get involved in this, they can actually tweet us some cliff-based puns, can't they?
We would gladly welcome anything cliff-based.
And we've got a Twitter. Okay, Stu, I think I've got my my Cliff Richard-based pun.
Okay, let's hear it.
Do you think that when Hank Marvin introduces himself, he's just instantly presented with food?
That's really good. Oh, you're getting some... you're getting quite a reaction there.
Yeah, the line, yeah.
You've gone... quite a few there. Unfortunately, technically that isn't a pun, so I'm just going to click reset on your graph there. Sorry about that. You've got to have rules if you're going to do this.
Well, I was going to do one, Stu, about where Cliff Richard keeps his coats, but I think I'm going to have to leave that one on a cliffhanger.
Getting quite a few.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, you're getting quite a few. Not as many as you did for the one that technically wasn't a pun. So, unlucky, but you are getting quite a bit of a...
Well, people can... This is an ongoing thing, isn't it? People can sort of...
You just thought of that then, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. That's all right. Fine.
Okay, well, we'll see. It might develop. It might grow.
I mean, we'll probably end up dropping this... You've gone quite a bit ahead of me. We'll probably end up dropping this feature this week anyway. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like it's working.
No,
why is mine going down? So Josh, today a bit of news. Back to the Future,
yeah.
The second movie, apparently was today. When he goes forward in time, he goes to this day.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So I went on the internet and I've had a little look what things they predicted correctly.
Okay.
And what things they predicted incorrectly. So video calling multiple people, they got that right.
Yeah,
Skype.
Fantastic.
Drones. Apparently, there's a news drone where they film, and drones now are commonplace.
So drones are the thing that sort of fly by themselves, aren't they?
That's right. Those little helicoptery things.
Oh, okay.
Hands-free video games. Apparently, that's in that film as well. So you got your Wii, haven't you? Hands-free, where you just use your body to do it. But they got a few things wrong: hoverboards, time travel, and Parkinson's. I don't think anyone saw that, did they?
No, absolutely not. Gosh. I also question the hands-free video games. You try playing a Wii with no hands, Stu.
That's a fair point.
I mean, what would you do? Put the controller on your neck?
You're right. There is the Kinect, or the Kinetic. There's another one.
Oh, the Xbox thing, where you just have to move yourself around.
Yeah. So, can they have that now?
Yeah, fair play. They can have that.
And the Star Wars trailer, that was a bit of big geek news as well.
See,
have you watched it?
I feel bad, Stu. I feel like because if you go on Facebook, everything's sort of like the Star Wars trailer, Back to the Future. I've not really got a basic knowledge of those things. I can't get with it.
Right. Okay.
Can't get with it at all. I watched the first ever Star Wars at the cinema.
Yeah.
You know, Luke, I'm your father. And then since then, I've just dropped.
Well, it's weird. I'm a big Star Wars fan, but I bet you weren't even born when the new films were made.
No, I don't know. The new films. So, as you may know and have noticed from the first 30 minutes of this podcast, me and Stu are up and coming comedians. So, what a lot of comedians do is they'll have an idea or an observation. They'll make a note on the phone. And then when they get a couple of minutes, they'll sort of try and work it into a joke. So what we've done, me and Stu have swapped phones, and I'm going to read something from Stu's phone, and we're going to try and work it out, and then Stu will read something from my phone off the notes section, Stu. Do not go into the pictures. Do not go into those.
Is that what I think?
Do not go into those, Stu. That's been sent. That's gone straight through to my camera roll. Okay, so let me have a look through yours.
Don't you do a joke where you say your dad's not black?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Straight away, One's jumping out of me here, Stu.
Yeah.
Well, before we go into that, Stu's actually got a note in his phone where it says, "Hi there, I've recently won both Can Comedy and Hot Water New Comedian of the Year 2015. Is this for yourself, Stu?
It's for myself, yeah, and friends, if someone wants to know anything about
me. And that's sandwiched in between two notes, one of which is 7-inch bell end, and then that's then followed by Cancer Lemonade. So that's the Can Comedian and Hot Water New Comedian of the Year. So where were you going with Cancer Lemonade, Stu? Can you remember what prompted you to make that note?
No, it doesn't ring any bells whatsoever, Cancer Lemonade.
Well, this might help you, actually. You spelt Lemonade, Lemon, A-I-D. And it's some kind of a charity event. That's really, like Live Aid, but just selling lemonade.
It could be just my horrific spelling. But you aren't short on some gems yourself. This gig has the feel of a darts league. AGM.
Yeah, annual general meeting.
Ah, right, okay.
Yeah.
6 dates in Europe.
Yeah, I've got 6 dates in Europe coming up. Tipton, Wolverhampton, Coventry, Tamworth, and Grendon Worker Men's Club. All in Europe, Stu, all technically in Europe.
Son of a hypochondriac, that's lovely.
Yeah, so that was going to be... I don't know if this is any good for the listeners, but you know, like in the film Gladiator, where he says, "I'm the son of a murdered blah, blah, blah."
Yeah.
It's going to be that, but he's the son of a hypochondriac. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Son of a guy who's allergic to stuff. Do you know what I mean?
That's really good. Yeah. There's one that this is really making me laugh. Impromptu gig that no one wanted.
Yeah, that was... I can't think what that was for.
That was such a funny idea.
Yeah, you've got some...
Yeah, I'll be honest, some of those are just actually notes.
Yeah, they are actually. I mean, they're just... It's a bit concerning. Just men's names in here, actually, Stu.
It was...
Marcus Bird.
Yeah. That...
And then a phone number underneath as well.
The names, we were trying to come up with names for my son. And the phone number was the phone number of the doctor.
Okay. Going right back now, Stu, to the start. I mean, again, there's a theme developing here. Cancer in the morning.
Cancer in the morning?
Yeah, I mean, this is an old note because it's going back to your sort of messages.
Oh, cracking me darker. Me darker. Oh, cancer in the morning.
Cancer in the morning.
I don't know.
Last thing at night.
I'm struggling here. You're a lot closer to your material, to your ideas. Amputee with a touch lamp, frustrated and in the dark. These are brilliant. You could just read these out and I'd be in hysterics.
This one, you've got, it's not about Satsuma.
Yeah, I remember what that
one
was.
It's not. It's a valid point, Stu, isn't it? It's absolutely not about
it isn't
Satsuma.
About Satsuma. There's more to it than that. What that was, and I did vaguely try the bit on stage, is the idea of a doctor who isn't very good at breaking bad news, and he says, you've got an inoperable tumour. And you're like, what, doc? What am I going to tell my wife and everything? And you're like, what? I said, you've got a Satsuma. Just waiting for you outside. And that was the idea.
I mean, you've got something here, Stu, a little bit... disappointing actually to be reading this. It's a list of Cliff Richard based puns, which I'm a little bit disappointed about because I thought that was supposed to be a little bit unfair, isn't it, if you've sort of pre-planned it.
I am prepared to stop this podcast if you are going to humiliate me on air. I'm gonna cut this bit.
Okay.
That's fine. No, it's fine, but you know, we're meant to be working together. And, you know, doing something like that...
I'm just reading, we're just agreeing, this is it. Again, you can't just sort of cut the segments you're not happy with. Then you've got a reminder at the 9th of October at 9 a.m. Do you know what that was?
9th of October at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
No. Mole, you've got here, Mole booked a dolphin experience.
Yeah, that was supposed to be... So that was going to be... I thought I'd found a dodgy mole on myself.
Oh, yeah.
But it was just a bit of Nutella.
Right.
And I thought, imagine if I didn't actually just find it was Nutella and I'd booked a dolphin experience. And
that's good. I like that. There's been a lot of stuff on moles in the news lately. I actually found a cancerous mole.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Stu.
So I took it to the vets. But seriously, they did say I should spend the next 3 weeks with loved ones.
Okay. Stu, yeah, that's... Okay. I'm just thinking, you know, sometimes if people are in relationships like not particularly trusting, their other half will often go through their phone.
Yeah.
I'm just worried if Sarah was to, I'm not suggesting Sarah's not trusting you, Stu, but if she was to look in those notes, what would her initial reaction be?
Why are there so many Cliff Richard puns would be the first one, which I would just say.
Why is he doing Cliff Richard puns without me? Because that used to be your thing, Stu, in the early days. You'd sort of take her out, wouldn't you? And you'd just sort of go to sort of a bar, restaurant, the theatre even. And you just...
Many times.
And you just pun around Cliff Richard songs.
Yeah, I was slightly broader than that. Not just his songs, but I'd do puns around his name, around band members' names, very much like you did earlier on. And she...
That's a good score, that.
You know, she actually hated it. It must be wrong, because mine's gone to zero. And yours is on 104.
Oh, that's...
So...
It's a good bit of kit, this, isn't it? It's a good bit of kit, this.
I think I've set it up wrong, if I'm being really honest. Oh, no, I've got one now. Ah. Oh, where's that gone? You've just gone up by one.
Yes. Oh.
I don't think that feature's worked at all, has it, really?
I quite like it. I think it works. It's good. I think it's interactive, which is what people want now. Yeah, can you remember... they tried to really push interactive TV about 6 years ago, remember this? So that people could record, it's more children's TV actually, which I don't know why you'd be watching children's TV at 38, but about 6 years ago, they sort of brought it in, and they'd record like a couple of endings to things, and then you'd have to vote for what you wanted to happen.
Yes.
Can you remember this?
I can. Yeah, it rings. Yes.
So maybe we could sort of introduce that next week. People could sort of get in touch. We could give them a couple of options, and people could get interactive with us. Not in a weird way. In a sort of a
via
Twitter.
No, asking us to do certain things. I think that'd be really good. We could probably set up for next week then some kind of cam, so they can actually see what's going off. And
well, I'm sure we've got the equipment to do it, Stu.
It's all there. It just needs to be utilised correctly.
I've got a bit more travel news actually, Stu.
Oh, excellent.
Okay, so. This is there's been an accident, still, I'm afraid, and it's on the Autobahn southwest of Wolfsburg. Probably listeners probably should avoid that.
I don't know if we have an international reach. We can't assume that we don't.
Right. What I'm looking for is a top quality dictator to come in and just tell us what to do.
Okay.
But imagine, like, you know, like a dictator, but nice.
Like a benevolent dictator.
Yeah, just really, like a really nice, but he's there.
But he saying, just tells you what to do.
Nobody's voting anymore. I'm in charge.
What I say goes.
What I say goes, but he's just nice.
But he's nice, is he?
Yeah.
But don't they start off nice, and then power corrupts absolutely?
Well, it's that attitude, Stu, why this country's in a mess. You know, people are against dictators. Get them in, is what I'm saying.
I think what you have to do is you have to look to a success story.
Do you watch Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares?
This doesn't sound like it's going to be a good example, but
he goes in and he tells these fucking chefs, he tells them what to do. Don't faff about with this. You've got it wrong. I know, I'm Gordon Ramsay. I'm going to tell you what to do now and then do it. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a political Gordon Ramsay, Stu, just to come in and just tell us what to do.
We've done an hour's worth of this podcast. 2 hours if you include the previous one. I think this is the first time I've been scared.
I've got another idea, Stu, for you.
Yeah.
Injections.
Oh, Jesus.
Right. No, seriously, get rid of prisons. Seriously, I'm being serious. Get rid of prisons. And so, whatever crime you've committed...
An hour sounds about the right amount of time for one of these
podcasts. We inject whatever. So, say you've committed a violent crime. Or something, saying me. So I've committed, I've really sort of gone at someone with a weapon and I've just sort of bludgeoned them. Imagine
you're standing up, Josh. Do you realise you're standing up?
Well, what I'd get then...
You're making me a little uncomfortable. I'd then sit down.
I'd then get an injection which would take away my anger hormone.
Right, okay. Do you know what I
mean? Or if you say you, it's more likely to be you sexually assaulted somebody.
Yeah.
So you've done that. You would get an injection that would sort of take away your libido.
Right.
So you wouldn't do that anymore. And so no one goes to prison.
Yeah.
Is a genius behind it. Right. You're thinking, but what about...
You're
what
standing
about,
up again.
Yeah, but hang on. So what about the victim? What are they getting out of it? Here's the beauty of it. Yeah. They get an injection to make them feel happy.
Right, okay. All right. It's a brave new world you paint there, Josh. Some of it I'm on board with. I like the idea of treating these sex offenders, with some sort of... Like a chemical castration.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Chemical castration. Yeah.
They did a similar thing to the imitation game bloke. What was his name? Do you know the guy?
Oh, yeah, I know you mean.
Him. They injected him with estrogen because he was a homosexual.
Yeah.
And he ended up killing himself as a result, they believe, of the estrogen injections. So what might happen is somebody might commit a sex offence. They might be chemically castrated and they might end up taking their own life.
Well, what would happen is, in this system, they'd go to the GP and they'd say, obviously I've been chemically castrated, feeling a little bit down about it.
Okay.
What can you do for me? Oh, hang on. Here's an injection. Boom, like happy injection.
Right, okay.
Get on with it again.
Okay. There's a flaw there, isn't there? Yeah, I feel really uncomfortable, and I'd be happy to draw a line under this segment and maybe move on.
Okay, but let's not rule it out for the future.
I'm not ruling it out, and you're standing again.
No, let's not. As I say, let's not rule it out at all. One other idea, Stu.
Okay.
Again, I know I'm getting on my soapbox here.
Yeah.
But right, so there's a problem in the world with obesity, isn't there? What it is.
How are you going to treat this?
So what happens is, it's a new gym, but it's all padded. The whole no equipment in there. Everything's padded. On reception, you get an injection, which will make you sort of have an epileptic fit, and then you go into the padded room and you just fit in for like an hour. Then after an hour, we come and give you another injection that stops it, and you've probably burnt about 2,000 calories.
Okay.
And you don't need any motivation. You just turn up there.
See. Let's just say, so I go to work now.
Yeah.
And my feeling for 8 hours of the day is usually, I'm quite bored.
Yeah.
A mild hint of depression because I'm somewhere I don't want to be.
Okay.
In your utopia, I'd just have one of these injections. I'd be quite happy.
Yeah. That's it.
No sex offenders.
No sex offenders.
No obese people because
you've got the gyms, haven't you? You've got the gyms.
You've influenced me. You've brought me around to your way of thinking.
Messiah.
Wow.
So
we just need a benevolent dictator.
Yeah. If you had to throw a name in the mix, do a bit of a potential friendly dictator.
I wouldn't go with Gordon Ramsay. He does frighten me. He's a little bit in your face.
He can need an injection himself.
What about,
I'm sure
he certainly does. What about Dale Winton?
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's a friend. He's used to leading on game shows, isn't he? He certainly holds a supermarket sweep together. There's no sort of criminals on there running riot.
No. But then these dictators, they like to have statues erected of themselves, big stone statues or big bronze busts. He'd cut a strange figure, wouldn't he? Having him in the mall or something like that.
Yeah. Well, he can, like, he's a dictator, so if he wants that. No, that's fine. If you're not going to get on board with Dale, then you know where the door is.
So I was saying my wife left me.
not this again, Stu. Go on.
I did the timeout gesture.
Okay. And what's wrong with that? I don't see.
Well, it was mid-coitus.
Okay. And.
I had 30 seconds left on an eBay bid, and I just had to check it.
And did Did you get your...
I did get my coil for my strimmer. So, £3.50. Was it worth it? I mean, it should have been £6.
Wow.
It depends what this divorce is going to cost.
Is that with package? Is that posting and package?
Yeah, posting and package free. Sending it from Hong Kong. I don't know how they make a profit.
It's amazing. I mean, what I'd probably do, Stu, I'd probably keep that quiet that you actually won it because, you know, she's already been unreasonable with for ending it. She might try and take that off you as well. That'd be typical of her, actually, to take that strimmer off you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, okay, maybe I was a little bit glib doing the timeout gesture, but...
You've been watching a lot of American sports, though, haven't you?
Exactly. I've been watching the Super Bowl.
And, you know, the timeout gesture is just that. It's saying timeout, it will start again soon.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Josh, you're going to reconvene. Yeah. But, and if I'd said something, you know, it kind of breaks a sacred moment, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
If you start speaking.
Yeah. And also, it's a good, you're practicing Makaton as well, which is a. Do you have on your stuff?
I do, and as a teacher, she should have seen that.
Absolutely. So you're.
I mean, she's worked with special needs.
And it's an inclusive gesture.
Yeah.
I think she's been unreasonable still. I think you should take her for everything she owns.
I certainly will, Josh. I certainly will.
Absolutely.
Between the two of us, I mean, like I was saying, I can't even get my son new shoes for the next 7 days, so the last thing I need is this, if I'm being honest.
Well, yeah, absolutely. But what your son could do... He could, if you've got patio doors,
yes,
you could sit him against
the patio doors. Yeah,
sit him against the patio door while you're outside strimming, and that will keep him entertained, won't it? He'll enjoy that.
Yeah, I could probably dress as one of his cartoon characters.
Yeah,
never thought about that.
Yeah, definitely. Have you seen, digressing slightly, Raster Mouse?
Yes.
Is he into this, Elijah?
Not yet, no, but Raster Mouse is obsessed with cheese.
Is he really?
Obsessed with cheese. And he'll say things like, "Yeah, me needs to get me some cheese." And if you were to change the word cheese to something else, it suddenly takes on a slightly sinister tone.
It does, doesn't it? Absolutely. And is that why you were shopping for cheese, Stu? Was it sort of, did it get you in
it? It was a byproduct of what Raster Mouse was really talking about.
Subliminal messaging. There's a lot of talk about Raster Mouse. People say it's a bit racist, don't they? Because it's he's dressed up as a Rastafarian. And he's actually wearing gold medallions on the show. And I was fine with it, you know. It's a religion, isn't it? People.
Rasta, yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I'm not quite sure. I mean, I turned on the other day and he was playing bongos. I was a little bit uncomfortable.
Right, with the bongos. You see that as an ethnic slur?
Well, yeah, really. Not a bit.
I mean. But the bongo is a universal instrument. Anyone can. It's not owned by any one peoples.
I had a set of bongos once.
Did you?
Honestly, I kicked up such a fuss for these bongos. My mum took us to where is it? Is it Bourton on the Water? Have you been there in the Cotswolds? It's a beautiful place.
I've been to the Cotswolds. Lovely.
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. And but in this shop, there's a lovely set of bongos. And you know, there's other things to enjoy. There were sort of. The rolling hills,
yeah.
The beautiful stonework, restaurants, cafes,
lovely.
Ice cream man. But I was dead set on these bongos too.
Right.
I really was. And I actually ruined the day until I got those bongos.
Can you remember how you knacked? Was it just?
I was just incessant. I was just on and on and on. And eventually, my mum was like, "Okay, we'll get you the bongos."
So you got the bongos, and how many days left of the holiday were there with you having these bongos?
No, it was a day trip.
It was just a day trip.
So right, I actually ruined 95% of the trip itself.
So the car journey, at least the entire car journey back, was you trying to work out how to play bongos?
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
But they weren't actually that good. You know, when you really want something, then you get it, and it's a bit...
Yeah, a bit of a disappointment.
Yeah. You know, this podcast, for example, I was quite looking forward to doing it. Then, you know, when you actually download it, listen back, you think, oh, actually.
That's how it was,
yeah. I think we can wrap up soon, Stu. What do you think?
I think you're right. I think we should start drawing it to a natural conclusion. But you've reminded me of a couple of things. One of them is you were a drummer in a previous life.
I was indeed.
Not in a previous life,
yeah.
But as in this life.
In my younger days, yeah.
Younger days.
Yeah.
Maybe I would typically play out with the segment Stu's Song.
Okay.
Which, funnily enough, someone stopped me in the street the other day and actually asked me about that. They said, how they love that little segment of the show and will that be a regular feature? And I said, you'll have to watch this space.
Okay.
But I'm just thinking now, maybe you could play out with some sort of drumming.
Okay. I've not got anything. Not got a drum.
Can you beatbox?
Potentially. Is it safe to beatbox into this condenser, Steve? Is that what that... I don't know, I know Pablo's a fan earlier with the letter.
Could be the first time it's ever been done.
Well, we can certainly try it. So do you want to sort of... you tell us a little bit about yourself, Steve. If you tell the viewer, the listeners, yeah, where they can see you perform.
Yeah.
And I'll just sort of play us out.
Sure.
Yeah.
So sure,
you,
okay.
Where are you performing this week, Steve? Thank you very much. Tune in next week. Thank you. Bye bye.
Good to just.